You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Good morning, everyone. It's Saturday, February 29th, 2019. It's only February 29th once every 4 years, so you better have a podcast on February 29th. If you're worth your salt, we're waiting for Jairus. Jairus just arrived. Bonjour, Jerry. Comment ça va?
Ça va très bien ce matin. It's a bit early. I did not sleep that much, but I am...
Could you speak up a bit? You sound like you're in a cave.
Yes. Is it better that way?
Oh, I thought you were in CERN, in the cave in CERN recording.
That would have been the best podcast ever.
Mr. Fakeologist, I spoke to Rollo. Yes. Rollo ran me in tears yesterday.
And are we? John is this not? Wait a sec. Is this a fart update?
Yes, fart update. One of a fart.
Fart update. Do we have any music? Oh, never mind. We don't have music.
No. Anyway, John Laws' wife passed away yesterday, and Rollo would have been as upset as John Laws was yesterday. He was absolutely...
I didn't even know she was sick.
I Googled it, and she'd had cancer since 96. And,
what?
For the last 4 years, she's apparently been not well. And Rollo rang me yesterday because apparently tradesmen arrived to chop the tree down, and one of them said, oh, John Lewis's wife died, and Rollo just was, it was like his wife had died. That's how upset he was. I said to him, I said, look, you know, it's not, you can't, it's not your issue, but now I know why he got cut off last week on the, when he made a call, when he brought up a friend of John Laws who also has cancer, and Laws got really upset with him, got rid of him. That's clearly why that happened. But anyway,
he got too close to him.
Yeah.
A guy I knew for 25 years dropped dead on the job yesterday.
Jeez.
I can't verify it because I wasn't there, but
hey,
that was
people
someone
die.
Who that was the one for one one. One of the very few people that was holding a grudge against me. Well, he didn't talk to me for 13 years.
Wow.
And I still bumped into him once in a blue moon. And I, you know, there's some people that just, they won't let go of a grudge for whatever the dumb reason is.
Yes.
It's almost always a dumb reason.
It's guaranteed to be a dumb reason. Well, I'll tell you an interesting thing. I go to a lot of people's houses, right, as part of my business. And one particular house, they're both, I would say, in their 70s. Every time I go there, and I'm up on the top level of their house, I look down, and there's another funeral notice that they've been to a funeral. And they always, and these people are quite well-known, celebrity type. Older. And but every time...
Well, people start to die.
They do... When you get to 75 plus, you spend more time looking in funeral notices than you do wedding notices. That's all I can establish from that.
There was a famous movie called Four Weddings and a Funeral, and I guess the thing I remember about it, which is not much, is that people get together for weddings and funerals. That's about it. There's no real in-between parties, not so much. But people always make a point of going to weddings and funerals, and that's where you catch up. And hopefully you don't just go to someone's wedding and then their funeral. Hopefully you go into a few things in between.
Well, you'd hope so. You'd hope so. But, yeah, no, certainly a lot of people passing away at the moment, and it's always...
Death does suck.
Guess what the most common denominator is?
Death sucks. It has got to be... I said pneumonia. That to someone. It's got to be the number one fear for most people. It's certainly my greatest fear.
Definitely not. But it makes you really think about life. I don't want
to die young. I don't want to die unexpected. I don't want to die young.
Yeah.
I want to be here right to the end, even if it's a rotten story. I want to see the end of the story.
I think I'm already dead. That's the only. That's why they say in the Book of the Samurai that if you consider yourself already dead on the battlefield, then you will act as a dead man and will find the only way to survive.
Yeah, interesting. Oh. Interesting.
Who says that? Sun Tzu?
A samurai?
It's in the Agyakure, which is basically the code of the samurai. But the name of the book is Agyakure with an H at the beginning.
Garrus, do you realize a lot of the samurai were white from Russia?
It's true, yes.
Yes, yeah, for sure. And I've seen photos of them. They're definitely not Japanese. The last samurai was definitely white. So
yes, they made a movie about this guy with Tom Cruise at the time.
So you know for a fact that if Tom Cruise is in that movie, it's a disinformation movie.
Yeah.
But you guys said there was someone in the lobby named Ashtaru.
Yeah, she's there somewhere. And she's from near me.
She doesn't want to be recorded because why? She's so famous that she'd have to sell her story?
No, I think she's probably a bit, you know, as you can be, but unless you're like me, like a media. I love media, so who cares? But hello, Ash, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Yeah,
there you go. See, nice. And Australian voice.
Oh, she's here.
Yes, she's here.
I'm here.
Lovely. Can you tell us about yourself, your likes and dislikes and such, where you're from, maybe your first name if you want, something we can refer to you as?
Yeah, sure. Well, I already posted links to my YouTube. I was trying to, just keep everything separate, but, whatever. But I use a pseudonym on YouTube anyway. My name's Ashika, and I'm in Sydney. And
Ashika?
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Ashika. It's Ashika.
Cool. That's a cool one.
Sound like a Jedi.
Where does that name come from? I never heard of it.
So it's
European.
No. So A S H I K A.
Cool.
Okay.
That's a cool one.
What's the origin of that name, Ashika?
It's like an Indian name.
Yeah. Were your parents hippies?
No.
Oh.
Well, maybe.
They were probably Indians. Is that Indian as in from India? Or Indian as in native?
Oh,
no.
So you got some exotic blood, obviously.
Yeah, but I've been, I'm really boring, born in Sydney and I still haven't moved out or anything. I guess I started, questioning, a few months ago when we had all the bushfires and stuff. So I'm still really new to learning.
Yeah. How old are you, Ashika?
Well, I'm around 30, I'm nearly 30.
Okay.
Yeah, but age. That's good. And it makes sense.
Are your parents okay with you hanging around with 50-year-olds? You have to ask their permission.
First thing, you're not 50-year-old.
No, I've been out of home.
Garrus isn't 50.
I've been out of home.
50.
For over a decade. Yeah, I moved out when I was 18, so...
Oh, okay, all right. Perfect. Well, you know what? 30 is a wonderful age. I wish I could go back, but not really.
So do I. So,
I can't wait to age. Love aging. I think it's amazing.
No, don't say that. Don't say that.
Can
you
just hold
you
at 30. Stay at 30. 30 is a great age for a woman.
I think any age is great to be alive, and I don't believe in death either. That's a different thing, but I just, in the logical definition of life, I don't think there's scope for the word, for the meaning of death.
I hope there's another life after here, but I won't be able to call back and let you know.
There's got to be. Well, I'm getting 911s everywhere. There's something going on weird everywhere at the moment. Every time I look at my clock, it's 9-1-1.
Yes, but it's Greek. It's confirmation bias. The thing is that you remove from your attention everything that is not 9/11. And then you start to see only the 9/11 because that's
As I said, when I looked out today and I was thinking about it, and I looked straight down at that car and its license plate was CU54X1, which was CU911. And I went, there's something weird going on here. There's like, I mean, that was...
I think you're stretching that, Rick.
No way. No.
If, you know, you keep on seeing it, maybe you've just got to, maybe perhaps acknowledge your conscious, yes, I'm seeing this number everywhere. And then maybe then when you look out, you'll be able to see different things as well.
That's true.
It's like when
we dream. Ash, can we call you Ash for short? Because I've already forgotten how to say your whole name.
Yeah, no, Ash is good. I like Ash. So, I just be silly when I do things. So it's like, Ash, hello. just be stupid.
Oh, okay. Now I'm working.
Like, no. Just being stupid, like how I would talk to pets or something.
We've been in the conspiracy community a long time, and we're wondering, is Ash, when we think of Ash, we think of Ashkenazi, because there's some of the most famous, perps in the conspiracy business, whether it's true or not. So that's a word that we hear all the time, is some special human being that has magical powers that does many things to us.
That's sort of a North American thing, I should say, the Ashkenazi thing, because here in Europe, it's mostly Sephardic Jews
are fantastic. And let me tell you now, fantastic people. At least three of my clients I would identify as Ashkenazi. Sephardic.
Sephardic.
And they are fantastic clients. Absolutely the most generous, nicest people I've ever met.
I wouldn't know one if one hit me in the face.
Oh, they will actually got. They're very dark coloured. They're more darker of the species.
They're basically Middle Easterners.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's where they all came from. And generous and kind-hearted, highly recommended as clients. Right. I'll go out and find one today. Well, they support me financially in my business, big time. So yeah.
Let's hear more from Ash. Ash, how did you find fakeologist.com?
So I was reading, like, there's an Australian news website called Tot News, and so yeah, I just retweet. Yeah, it's like turn off the television.
Is that a John LeBron property?
No, but I think he's, like, one of, like, the supporters or something. So I just, like, went through all the links and stuff and read people's comments and then...
They sound normal, but other people think they don't sound normal.
Yeah, so that's, okay, like, the bushfire article...
Are we in the comments? What is in the comments, I wonder?
There's BV, there's I think is it Silver Ed Bean, Kelly. Ed Kelly, Rollo, me, John McCon. Okay. There's a whole lot of Aussies. Always.
Well, I'm moving to Australia soon because you're the only people that are awake.
We really are awake people, but don't you think there's an awful lot of Canadians doing podcasts? I think there's more podcasters from Canada than there are Aussies.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Well, there's Jeff C. But let's go back to Ash. You have to keep butting in. I know it's not a female trait to butt in, but we all talk on top of each other. So you're going to have to be, don't think you're rude. Just pretend you can't hear us and start talking if you have something to say. Don't wait.
So what do you think about talk about the bushfires. What made you wake up when you thought about the bushfires?
Well, I read that Tot News article. I can't remember how I got to it. Like, I was watching quite a few... this guy's a shill. I'll try not to use the C word because I know some people don't like it. Max Egan.
Yeah,
so... She's fucking chill. He went crazy. I was listening to Brendan O'Connor, and he said that Max Egan did PR for Children of God, or was it the Brethren, for like 12 years or whatever, and that's like this, you know.
Yeah, Brendan O'Connor's probably the most notorious of the Australian psychologists, Australian podcast.
I never heard of him.
Oh, he's big.
Never heard of him.
I can tell. It's another separate subject, but he is living in Indonesia, and he claims to be chased out by the Australian government, and he's seeking refuge in Indonesia. And apparently, he does not like Max Egan, and he certainly doesn't like Adam Green and a number of other people. So we've already brought up Adam Green's background.
Yeah, I wrote it down what he said, so because I'm just trying to connect the dots and try and figure out who people are, and so
it's gonna take you many years to do that, let me tell you.
I'm not gonna that's not the goal, though. The goal is not to figure things out, it's the process that I really enjoy. And one thing that's like really helping me is that, like, things that stir fear or information doesn't have to be emotional or cause an emotional reaction. Yeah. And because then that way the rhetoric is like pathos, like you're going from emotion, not, you're not going from logic. But this is what I wrote down when I was listening to Brendan O'Connor. And I still haven't downloaded the, his UN application thing. But the last video I saw, he's in Beirut now this week or something. But he was saying, so I hope he's all right. I really don't know. I've got to look into the whole situation more. But he said with Max Egan that he was hanging with Zen Gardner in South America from the Children of God cult.
Zen Gardner was exposed as being a senior member of the Children of God cult.
I don't even know that name. I've got no idea. I just, I write things down to them.
Not to sound stupid, but what exactly are the Children of God?
Children of God I'll tell you some very interesting facts about them. Children of God were a cult, right? They all had that kind of either adopted kids. Everyone had blonde hair, and guess who was a part of that? Julian Assange. Right, he was one of the Children of God.
Yes, Richard D. Hall does a really fabulous documentary. I consider of Julian Assange. Was it The Family or was it Children of God? You'll find this interesting, or not that much interesting, but Children of God. That's where Jacqueline Phoenix is from, and Rose McGowan. And it's the numerology and stuff. And I don't know who you guys follow, on YouTube and stuff, but, whether you guys reckon, this whole Me Too movement as well, it's a whole shill thing. A distraction.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually got the book, by Rose McGowan.
With blonde hair children. So
yeah.
It's like the movie. What is the name of the movie where they can kill people at a distance?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. The children of the corn.
Now listen to this. Guess what date Children of God got busted?
9/11.
It's patterns.
I don't think it should be. There's no fear in searching, or there's no fear in realizing that there's a
I'll tell you now, Ash, you're about to go down a rabbit hole, right? You're going to go down a rabbit hole. And what they've deliberately done is have many tunnels set up on every different side of that tunnel, that you can run off and go off. And what you need to do is, and it's extremely difficult, and I've been into this stuff for 40-odd years, you will go to run off into one direction, and then all of a sudden you'll go, hang on a minute, I've been, and you run off to another direction. It's deliberately done to confuse you, but you've got to look for a pattern. There's a certain pattern going on here. And Children of God, when they busted Children of God, they did it on the September the 11th of 91, I think it was.
God! You know what's so weird? My birthday's the day after.
There you go. Yeah, this is a bit of a synchronicity thing you're going to go on to as well. So it's really, really difficult.
What were they busted for, Rick? What were they busted for?
They got busted for the leader of them was David Berg, I think his name was. And he was
David, another David. Always a David, huh? Another pattern.
David Berg, and he was sleeping with some of the younger girls in the...
Of course. Listen, I've always said that. The only reason you start a cult is to sleep with young women. Chicks. I'm sorry. That's the way.
You're spot on, man. Spot on. Exactly.
If I was starting a cult, I would have Kool-Aid as my main drink. I'd wear my hair long. I'd wear a few gold chains. What else can we do to really spice it up a bit? You'd have to be a girl, and if you want to bring a guy, you'd have to get a vasectomy or neutered. I'd have all these rules for my cult.
Yeah, well, that's
my only rule on my cult is that if you don't ever do a modeling job, you cannot go on my cult. If you ever do a modeling job, it's okay.
So what rabbit holes have you guys gone down, or
every one of them?
I'm just gonna put my microphone on silent because I just gotta wash some dishes, so
yeah, that's cool.
We won't say that's a stereotype for women.
I've got a fantastic book.
I gotta go iron something. I gotta go iron my beard.
I've got a fantastic book called about the whole Children of God thing. It's called Hang on, let's go have a look so I can find it.
Is that an Australian cult? Because I don't remember it.
No. Yeah, they came
America, because Rose McGowan and Jacqueline Phoenix, they were in the Children of God in America.
River Bottom.
I got manipulated into this Christian fundamentalist cult. Scum. And my sister, won't even talk to me because I'm banished. And so, they're real. It's mind control, but, it's definitely, I've left, but it's definitely...
Is this a cult?
Yeah, so they target certain people, they're poor, whatever, and, it's always, the vulnerable or whatever, and, both parents aren't around or whatever, and... And so, or they'll get, divorces or... and then they'll
broken,
often talk, evangelical.
My last ex, it was 14 years. She had been in one, and that none of them, they don't even want to talk about the kind of things they went through. What there are is there's a lot of Christian cults that spring up. That drag in people that have got broken families, and they say, come here, or people with mental illness. And what they do is they take control of the payments from the wealth. There's welfare payments for sickness beneficiaries over here. Very easily, if you set up a kind of a program that's supposedly there to help.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. And my ex had been into one for 4 years. Her father.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and so I kind of know a fair bit. There's actually one.
Was that after you got rid? You left her, or was during?
No. Well, no. That's how when we was one of the interesting things we used to talk about is what happened to her when she was living with this Christian cult. And Christian cult, not Buddhist or whatever, they were definitely Christians. And they're near me now, right now, where I sit. I could drive 5 minutes, and this particular place is set up, and they still attract. I actually, every now and then, you bump into people, and I say, "Oh, where you from?" They say, "Oh, I live at this particular place. It's called Obadiah, right?" It's
Did she join the cult after or when you were married?
No, she didn't join. Her father's wife had passed away, and he was in a difficult position. He was upset. He was a Christian. And someone said, "Oh, you should go there because they help people like you." He went there, and they married him off to another member of this particular thing. And she lived there for 3 years, and they were taking all the payments. They were getting the free work from the, you know, he was a carpenter.
It's a commune.
Or a joiner. A commune, yeah, exactly. And so Children of God was a bigger version of what is not far from me now. And
all right.
Yeah, and so like
To belong. People love to belong to things. So
they're
just preying on a basic human need. Let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
People,
and they get
join religions. It's community. I'm jealous of some community. I'm not in any community except maybe the fakeologist community, which is a very transient community, but. There's lots of people in religious communities, and they draw a lot from it, and they do give a lot of money. A good friend of mine is in the Hindu community, and the money he spends on his temple is crazy. There's no amount that he's obligated to spend, but he does it anyway.
Exactly. No, it's basically you're vulnerable and you're exploited, and then you get these ones like.
But he doesn't look at it that way.
He may not do, but...
They're devoted. People love to belong.
If you've got a leader, though, that's saying all the young girls need to come and sleep in my room tonight and they don't do something about that, then you've got a serious issue, and that's what happens.
Well, you know what? That never happens explicitly like that. It's always a gradual grooming. And unless you're in the situation, which I've never been... they don't hit them over the head with a club and say, "You got to sleep with me." It's a very gradual. I think it's a very gradual, natural thing. People gravitate towards the people that they hang out with. I don't think it's not devious in any way. It's just natural.
Depends.
I don't think there's probably a ton of coercion. I think they get to a point where the women want to sleep with the leader. Because the guy's got all the charisma and all the marbles.
Exactly. There's a number of these ones. There's one called...
I would disagree with that, that it's not coercion. It's definite. Like, they break you down. Like, all the events that they get you going to, sleep deprived. Like, we did fast where we didn't eat any food for a number of days. Yeah. And, there's a lot of coercion. It's definitely coercion, I would say.
Whereabouts was the one that you, not exactly, but roughly, was it in Sydney?
Oh, they're all over Australia, and even America. Yeah. I remember we did a pilgrimage site. I call it pilgrimage now, but they say go to the Mother Church in Prescott, Arizona. It's called the Potter's House. It's not the T.D. Jakes one, but they're all, in America, and they go by the door. So it's set up by Wayman Mitchell, and it's in Prescott.
There's one called that was big in California in the 60s and 70s.
Heaven's Gate.
It was one that was called Father Yod or Father. He opened a vegetarian restaurant in California, and all sorts of celebrities got behind it and got involved. And I think. So basically, Joaquin Phoenix and River Phoenix grew up in the exact same, a Christian cult. And they don't have much good to say about it. Well, River's dead, but Joaquin Phoenix is certainly a very famous person at the moment.
All right, let's, can we talk? We got one of the rules of this channel.
I'm on my one.
Ash, is we have to talk a little bit about fakeologist.com because The website that I run, fakeologist.com, is all about media fakery and exposing the lie that is 9/11. So I like to try and do a little bit of that chat, because people that do listen to these chats, they are looking for that kind of discussion. So are you familiar with the 9/11 event at all? Because you are rather young compared to us fogies.
Like I said, my birthday is the next day. It's definitely
9/12.
Yeah.
Another Virgo. Cool. Virgos are cool.
Yeah.
Can you tell us everything you know about 9/11? You would have been 12 years old at the time.
I was a bit younger.
11.
I'm 20.
11.
No, I would have been 10, because I'm born in 91. I was tripping out when, you mentioned the date that the Children of God was busted in Australia on the 11th of September 91, because my birthday is I was born the next day. So it's all really weird. Not weird, but it's interesting.
We don't allow the word weird here. I never allow the word weird in my household either.
I've got to stop using that word, I reckon. Because
it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't. And our words, I consider, do you know something really interesting I heard? So, you know, the Twin Towers or whatever, I was listening to Crow Radio, and one of the guys was saying the most powerful, Twin Towers is actually our vocal cords. So I feel like going back to my anatomy textbooks and making a video on that. And it's so true because I was listening to a lot of what they were saying and stuff, and, our energy or where we focus on, that's our intent, and we can't, be two different things at the same time, whatever. And it really did make me realize that even, all of the symbols and, if you watch the news or whatever, they're constantly trying to get these, archetypes in your head. And so when these archetypes are in your head, our brain is what uses the most oxygen. And so then when we see a symbol or whatever, and then we associate that with whatever meaning society's given it, we're giving oxygen to that idea. In our brain, that's where we're putting our energy. And even if we say a word and we don't actually know the etymology of it or the history or whether, the word's meaning has changed over time for some, reason or whatever, whenever we speak, it's a frequency. And so we're then giving energy to that, that idea, that archetype, or, this false idea that, or this false belief that men want
to be. All you have to do is when you're driving through
space. But yeah, so that's why it just made me really connect with the idea that the most powerful Twin Towers are our vocal cords.
Interesting. I've never heard that. Is that Crow that said that?
I don't think it was him. It might have been a guest on the show. I'm still remember people's names and stuff.
I never heard that one. That's good. I like it.
It's all right. Well, everything on a human body is pretty much doubled up. Two arms, two eyes, two ears. I know we only have one nose, but there's a lot of binary in a human being.
Two
nostrils, right? Right.
Well, I wouldn't say it's binary, because binary is just like zero or one. Like, that's polar.
Binary to me means two, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I think, we've only got one liver. And it's not symmetrical or anything like that when you look at the arteries and placement.
We're not perfectly binary, but we have a lot of duplicate. Well, we got a lot of left and right, one and two. But let's hear some more about your 9/11 information. What do you, have you studied the topic at all? Because I don't want to bore you with what we know.
Studied it all that much. I'm literally, if you said to me, even I don't know, half a year ago, whether I thought it was real, I would have said yes. It's not, I don't know, and I guess maybe it's just because it happened when I was a kid and all the adults around me said it happened. And so, you don't question that, because I remember, being in year four or whatever, and then, we had to, write poems for the victims and, Yeah, I just didn't remember.
You had to write poems for the victims?
Yeah, or something like that. We read them out, or, you know, we had to do like a reflection or something, and then, anyway, so, but it's like, I've seen some, you know, footage or whatever, and, but yeah, no, I don't know, I guess it's just kind of like, I can just see it, I can hear someone talk about it, and then it's just like two and two together, all right, it's fake. Like, I can just kind of,
It's fake, it's definitely fake, and once you watch, the big wake-up call for a lot of people here was the documentary called September Clues. Which
recommended it to me.
Yeah, do yourself a favour. Watch that.
Yeah, but I think I've seen, like, enough snippets and stuff to know it's fake. Like, I don't... I don't know everything, but, like, you know, like, I know... you know, like I used to teach some classes or whatever. Like, you know when you know content, you know. So I don't know why I would watch that documentary, but.
It's good. But basically, it just gives you the actual evidence to say this thing was a film and you didn't see anything that was real. Yeah. It was just a film.
But isn't it interesting that at 30 years old, Rick, it's just it's history. And it didn't have any impact because she's too young.
Yeah.
And really, it just proves that you need something in your generation to be interested. Because that's history. And history is boring to almost everybody. And it's got to be one of the most boring subjects for most people in school, for instance.
Yeah.
So history has to be recent for anyone to care about it. That's what I'm trying to say. 9/11 is lost. The effect is lost on a 30-year-old. So maybe that's the cutoff. About 30, 35 right now is the cutoff for 9/11 relevance.
But the good thing is, I'll say this. The good thing is Hollywood.
Oh, hold on, break down.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
We have to get Ash to do a bumper because I haven't had a bumper in 2020.
Oh, wow. Good. Ash, you need to do a bumper. You know what a bumper is? You say, I'm Ash. I'm listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, you used to do it in
the radio. Oh, sorry.
You did? You have a good voice. Yeah, you go, hi, I'm Ash from wherever, Australia. And you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I'm Ash from Australia. Wait, do it again?
Just keep going. I'll clip it.
He'll clip it, yeah.
All right, then. Hello, everyone. I'm Ash from Sydney, Australia, and I'm listening to Fakeologist.com.
Okay. The script is actually pinned in the live stream show notes. Just read off the script, I think. It's pinned in the Discord channel.
It took me five goes to get it. So
it took Rick all year to get it right.
So where am I supposed to... Like, I'll go on my laptop. I've got, like... On my phone. Also, here we go. Audio clips. What am I supposed to do? Don't quote me.
It might be on live stream show notes in the pin.
Jairus, can you send it to her? Or is it used to her?
Jairus can send it. Jairus is an expert.
Yeah.
Well, like, it should have been that hard. Like, I can remember most things.
Didn't they say, you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist
Radio? Oh, did I forget the radio? Sorry about that.
Yeah. Even though radio doesn't exist really as much anymore, but it's audio.
But it took me five guys to do it, so don't worry.
I'm not worried. Sorry that I got wrong.
She doesn't sound like she's worried. Just get it right.
I
love it.
Where are we? Here we go, Jairus. Oh, thanks for that. It's very cool.
I send you the best.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Alrighty, cool. I haven't done any right. Voice exercises.
You don't need to. Just use your normal voice.
You can limber up. You can sing a few.
Yeah.
You can limber up a bit if you want.
Okay, I'll just do it now. So, hi everyone, I'm Ashika from Sydney, Australia, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Bang. Fantastic.
Yay, perfect. Nicely done. Bellicet would be proud.
Oh, he would. He would. He would.
And he's in
I
the
don't
room.
Know who that is.
Silently, but he's in the room.
Oh, fantastic. Bellicet, hey, I've been hearing some terrible things about the Sydney train system. All sorts of dramas.
I'm surprised you're here, Rick. Isn't it Mardi Gras tonight? Aren't you supposed to be busy?
I meant to be on a float, but I decided against it. Yeah, but hey, she did a good job. That was one of the great bumpers. Did you send her the link? Obviously, Geras, because that sounded fantastic. Hello.
Yes.
It was awesome. Awesome, man. Good on you, mate. Now, Velasquez, the Sydney train system has been having some issues. Oh dear.
What happened?
Oh no, the storm was it another storm last week. There was every time I listened to the radio, so there was the Sydney trains 5-hour delays, 2-hour delays, whatever.
No, don't blame me. I keep mine on time.
I mean, you're an expert. You are an expert. So Rollo was absolutely, you know, he's already upset about the show.
Yeah, I know. He's been like a jilted lover, giving me like a drunk dialing in the middle of the night, mate.
I get them as well. I get them as well.
Okay, good. I'm glad it's not just me.
But no, he when John lost his wife died yesterday, I got this phone call. I picked the phone up and I said hello, and he said, and he was, I could hear him like deep breathing and sobbing, and I thought something terrible's happened. And it was John Laws' wife who died. And I said, but Rollo, I said, it's not your wife. It's not, you know, like, it's not your issue.
And yeah, but he did see him having lunch one time at that restaurant. So I don't blame him for feeling close, you know. He probably tried to get an arm around her, but didn't work out.
He did. Apparently got a kiss on the cheek.
There you go. There's enough of a connection.
I thought he was upset that the fart was ending. I thought that would be more.
Oh,
upset.
No, don't.
Well, that's the thing. He calls Rick about John Laws' wife, but he calls me about the fart. Let's see.
No. He called. No, don't worry. Late. Hey, listen. Don't worry. He's called me about that as well. And now he threatened to jump off. He described the way he'll jump off the balcony if he gets really upset the other day. And I said he was demonstrating. Apparently, when he was in,
did he do a swan dive?
Well, if he did, it's high enough to be dead. But now he is absolutely.
He can't jump off that tree that fell on his house because they probably took that away already.
Well, unfortunately, the other guys that told him that John Laws' wife had died, and he rang me up sobbing, which I understand because he's a highly strung emotional person.
He is a high.
He should call Lawsy when Lawsy's back on air tomorrow, and prank him about that.
You reckon?
Well, that would be funny. That'll go over like a lead balloon.
It was a joke.
Then.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I know. It's funny.
But anyway,
1-800. Has anyone here broken up about Mad Mike Hughes? Has anyone heard about that rocket launcher guy that my buddy IPS pushes?
I've heard. Look, and I do trust, there's certain things I believe when Opperman says things and other things I don't believe, but he reckons that he knew quite solidly that he was not a flat earther, that he was exploiting the thing to get cash from flat earthers to pay for his rocketry things. So he was actually doing it. He was an obsessive rocketer. And I've got a friend who is an obsessive rocketer, and it costs absolutely an arm and a leg to buy those motors for a rocket. So he reckoned that Mad Mike was a glober.
An opportunist,
getting large amounts of cash, because apparently, and I believe it too, if you go on to the flat X,
let's talk about what's relevant to fakeology. Does anyone believe that that was a real person dropping from the sky and going splat on the ground? Anyone here believe that?
Possibly. I don't know.
That's a possibility, but I didn't look into the case enough to
I did, and I do believe there are people that would love to. I've got a good close friend who flies rockets. If he got the opportunity to actually fly in one, he'd do it. I guarantee you now. So, and what an incredibly stupid thing to do it would be. It would be the most dumb thing you could possibly do. It's like, get into a...
Okay. Well, the difference is I listen to IPS. I like IPS. He has a lot of good things to say. But the way he was pumping Mad Mike for the last year, it could be seen from a mile away that this was a setup to discredit and make anyone associated with IPS or the shape of the earth look like a fool. Because let's be perfectly sane about air travel and rockets. To attach yourself to a rocket without, as an amateur, you may as well go jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and see if the water is hard when you land. It's insane.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The guy didn't really look in shape. And he was pretty old, so at least very
It's an insane idea for anyone. You could say Evel Knievel was crazy for jumping over 40 cars. Like, to me, that's crazy as well, but it seems a little more doable than attaching yourself to a explosive device and hoping everything works out well. That's crazy.
Yeah, I would agree with the idea that he was like a disinformation plant or like a discrediting plant. Because he looks crazy.
I would say for sure.
Well, having a name like Mad Mike, Mad Mike doesn't do you any favors.
Yeah, it's part of the programming. So the idea that IPS is going on a show saying if you think that it's fake and you haven't done the research is an incredible contradiction, and it just, to me, is one more knock against IPS, who was big for a while pushing the mask technology, saying this guy is that guy based on high-end masks, based on a CIA interview where some mask experts spill the beans, which is also ridiculous. The CIA, their whole idea is to spread disinformation and get people going down the wrong path. So I think the whole thing was a setup from the start. There is almost nothing they could do or say to change my mind about that.
Yeah,
and I even posted on fakeologist.com/blog, which is my new daily updates link if you want to update your URL. There was a guy called Super Dave who was a sketch on a Canadian comedy show that was actually kind of good called Bizarre. That was the name of the show, Bizarre, from the 70s. And Super Dave was the takeoff on Evel Knievel. He was the spoof of Evel Knievel, who was relevant back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, Super Dave did really stupid stunts where you're almost guaranteed to be killed. And they always used a dummy for Super Dave, and it was obvious that they were barely trying to make it look real, but that was what made it funny. And I posted one Super Dave skit that I found on YouTube and put it beside the Mad Mike falling out of the sky, and I thought the Super Dave dummy looked more realistic than this body that went straight down into the ground from the Mad Mike rocket thing. So,
and how long ago was that? Was it Super Dave? Like, how many?
From the 70s, and they actually made a show. They actually made a separate show out of it, which made no sense to me, because to me it could not be stretched into a whole show, because it was just a skit on the show. But I think that went into the 80s, which is way before your time.
Yeah, well, it makes sense because, like, they're conditioning us to, because whatever we see, we can't unsee. And so it's like they're conditioning us for accepting lower quality evidence or lower quality, things that they show us on the TV. And then, like, we can't unsee that. And so, then if they show us some fakery or whatever, it's like our brains are already pre-programmed with the image of that.
I agree with that. I agree with that. It's very, preconditioning is a very important psychological weapon. There's no doubt about it.
It's a good comment. Yeah, so that's why I asked how long ago that was, because,
Super Dave is not relevant to most people. I only put it there because I know about it, and I want you to go look at my blog post, and then you can look at Super Dave, who is a spoof on Evel Knievel. That means he's making fun of stuntmen. That's the joke. So if you look at his joke videos, and then look at Mad Mike, and you tell me if you think the Mad Mike thing looks more like Super Dave or more like something that could be real, because I guarantee almost nobody has ever seen anyone fall out of the sky and land on the ground. No one here has actually seen that in real life, probably. So you only can go with what you've seen on television.
Mm. Yeah, well, like,
Have you seen anyone fall out of the sky and hit the ground?
No, I haven't really looked into it that much, but, like, I can kind of, like, tell when just things are, like, pulpited as crazy or, that it's just a style, so, like, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, well, you seem like you're well-versed in the lingo. You're well-versed. You sound like a very awake person, and we're certainly glad to have you at fakeologist.com.
Yeah. Why don't you introduce me to the new guest?
Okay, Velasette is the producer of the now defunct Fart Podcast. Velasette is a radio producer extraordinaire. And Velasette, we have a new fakeologist. Her name is Ash. That's short for, go ahead, what's it short for?
Ashakira?
No!
Ashika. Yes!
So welcome, Ashika Velasette. That's what I said. But she's not. She's actually got Indian heritage. Is in India from? Is that India? India?
Red India, dot India or the feathers India?
The Asian.
Asian
continent.
All right.
And you said you're in Sydney.
Yeah. I did a bit of community radio.
Whereabouts?
Have you ever taken a tram in Sydney?
A tram? No.
Trams are in Melbourne.
I'm sorry, have you ever taken a subway in Sydney?
No, they have trams in the city through Haymarket. Or have they shut them down?
That's light rail.
Are they? Oh, all right. Yeah, that is too.
All right. I'm only saying that because if you want to ask anything about the subway system in Sydney, Velasette is your man.
So not that we don't have a subway yet.
I know your picture is of the side of a train platform.
Yes, I get the question, Velasette. Does there is people that do some kind of urban exploration on the Sydney subway?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's massive.
Graffiti artists.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
That doesn't matter.
Excellent. I will look up for that on YouTube then.
I think Rick needs his own show.
Totally agree.
I think Rick needs his own show. It's the first time he stays quiet. Amazing.
Did we just hear you peeing before, Rick?
No. I'm frying a steak. Sorry. It sounds similar.
No, I don't know about that.
Peeing and crying.
There's always...
No, it's different.
It's always a weird trick.
Cry me a river.
Things, but I don't know.
But anyway, the subways of Sydney are incredibly interesting to talk about, which I can talk about all night if you need to. But we won't, but I could.
By the way, I want to let all my Sydney and Australian friends know it is minus 13 right now where I am. That's negative 13.
Wow. It's almost unlivable at this point.
Can anyone beat that?
No, clearly not.
Eat it in hot, yes, little, coldness.
Well, it's definitely beautiful.
I was saying that so you guys could give me a temperature check. Can we have a temperature check from around the world now, please?
Oh, so Geneva.
21.
I can't hear you, Jairus. Jairus, you're quiet.
13 degrees Celsius.
21, yeah.
21, 13. Okay, very good, Velasette.
Okay, so where did you do community radio, Ash?
Sorry, I was just trying to make a cup of tea.
Don't bother.
Yeah, sorry. I still got a few dishes to do, but I just needed the tea. The most recent, I just cover for my friend sometimes on, in Marrickville, Radio Skid Row.
Oh, that's cool. That's a great station. Great station.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so bad with time and organising and stuff, but, I'll just cover it, if you need someone to do the show. Yeah.
The fart guys are looking for a new producer, so maybe that.
Can you produce, madam? Do you have any idea about how to edit and add funny jokes? Not quite as good as Villa, sort of.
Can you insert fart sound effects into talking?
I bet she could.
Yeah, I'm a pretty quick learner, and so.
Oh.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
God, it's a nuisance with all those bumpers every 15 minutes.
Yeah, bloody hell. At least the fart talk.
I like it really is. That has a good 45-minute run before there's any breaks.
Now, Velocet, does this sound like someone urinating? Hear the steak sizzling?
No. Before, there was a definite peeing sound. I can hear the steak. That's very different to what I heard earlier.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I'm telling you now, you've got good ears.
Yeah, you washed your hand. You washed your hands, though, before you got to the steak, didn't you?
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
I
get
that too. Yeah, I just you just got to put your microphone on mute. If,
Come on.
You don't get this show, Ash. You don't get it, man. You got to leave your mic open when you pee. That's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you do.
We allow peeing, but not dishes.
No dishes.
Sorry.
I wasn't
trying to be offensive.
No, we didn't actually hear you.
Ash, we're joking, Ash. We're joking. We are probably some of the most sarcastic people on earth. Right here.
Give them a few more beers, though, and then later on tonight when they ask you for pictures, they're not joking.
No, that's Rollo. And he's not here. Yeah, that's Rollo, but he's not here, and you're safe.
Rollo is welcome. We told him this could be his therapy session for recovering from farting.
Oh, don't listen. I tried, and I actually phoned him this afternoon. He hasn't phoned me back. So I said, come on.
Oh, there's the vapor.
Oh, sorry. I started washing the tube again. I'll put this thing on mute. Sorry.
No, it's we're okay.
This was actually the guy vaping that we heard.
I didn't vape.
Oh, no? So, okay, I heard that.
I'm here when I vape.
You can be accused. you can be accused of urinating, but you're not allowed to vape, obviously.
Well, you can vape in public. You can urinate in public now.
Unless you're on the subway, can you go on the track?
Yeah.
You get electrocuted if you peed on the third rail.
Never sit in that single seat at the end downstairs. You don't want to go there.
I do believe that'll be a true piece of advice.
Bella said, do you have a third rail on your system?
No, overhead.
Oh, it's overhead. Because in Toronto, it's a third rail. And there's stories about people peeing on the third rail, and that's the end of them.
Oh, and I believe that.
Of course, they would never publish those stories, but that's just maybe an urban myth, the third rail.
The third rail.
Yeah, do you know
what I think most of the people who work on there have thick enough rubber boots that it's safe to walk on without problem.
I'd dispute that. There's a lot of voltage there. I don't think a rubber boot would stop it, but maybe. Yeah, you know what the third rail is, Rick? I want to help you. Because if you don't know, then nobody knows.
No, I don't. Actually, I'll be honest.
Be honest with me. On the Toronto subways, there are obviously two rails, one for each wheel. And then the third rail is the electrification tab.
Oh, yeah.
The subway has an electric.
It's like it's like the UK ones, and I think New Zealand.
So it's right beside the tracks, right beside the two main tracks, and if you touch it, you die. So.
Yeah, I believe that. I can remember going to Wellington in New Zealand where we had electric train and watching the sparks flying off as a child as the train went down the buses were electric in New Zealand, and you could see the blue sparks flying off, and you knew you wouldn't go anywhere near that particular thing if you wanted to live. Electricity is really scary when you see the way the sparks spark when you hit a line or whatever. There's definitely something dodgy about electricity. I don't think I'm better than electricity. I think I'm quite happy to be a user of it, but it is definitely deadly. Definitely deadly. Hello, am I talking to myself?
No.
Oh, good. Thank God for that. Yeah, no, Fagol is muted, Ashley's muted, and Silverbean's
one thing
muted.
I always find fascinating about the subway system everywhere you look at in the world is that no matter how far into it you go, there is still one guy with a can of paint that went there.
That's true.
What I found fascinating.
A friend of my sister, he explores those tunnels that we were talking about before, the subways and the unused train tracks and blah 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 of Sydney.
Yeah.
And he has taken. Oh man, this guy, he's like what was it talking about? What was that TV show? The guy that can invent things. You know, the American TV show, and he had a gadget that would fix everything. You know, to get through anything.
MacGyver,
right? This guy, yes. His name's Hans. And I said to my sister, Hans is in Hans.
Hans Wormhat?
No, she said Hans is in Hans. Because anything with, he can do anything. He's in the film industry, so he can build, if you needed a giant rabbit, this guy could build a giant rabbit overnight. You know, his name's Hans.
He could pull one out of a hat?
This guy is amazing. And he got told by his doctor, you've got a heart problem, you need to start exercising. And so rather than exercise, he goes, he just knew he wouldn't join a gym. He wasn't interested in doing that. He needed to do something that was exciting. So he decided to investigate underground subways because he'd seen a documentary about it. So he made a set of skeleton keys by himself with his hands, and he got a backpack, and he could hide the skeleton keys. It was all, so if he got arrested down these tunnels, which you're not allowed to go to, they're all government, there's a Privacy Act on going down these things. So he made a backpack that hid.
Plus you might get hit by a subway.
Well, no, these things are disused now. They're not actually used. So
they're abandoned.
As part of his exercise regime would be exploring, and he sent photos to my sister, who she sent the photos to me, and under these incredible tunnels that no one knows about is, as what Gareth has said, graffiti everywhere. So the graffiti artists know where to go, obviously, when they want to do their amazing tags. There's some kind of skill. The graffiti artists are obviously a cult into themselves.
I hate graffiti. I don't think any of it is good.
No, I really...
It depends. It can be really ugly on the street, but for example,
it's vandalism.
What if someone sprays psychology.com
I want to say is that, for example, if you visit those abandoned subway tunnel, no matter how far you go, there is some graffiti, and that I really like, the fact that no matter how far you go, somebody already went there.
And Gareth, as you said, he took this photo of this one that I've never seen before. It was like it went under the Sydney Harbour, and at the end of it was this incredible graffiti art piece. So someone's already been down there and tagged it and done the stuff. So the graffiti cult are very knowledgeable about these tunnels, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's really fun to go down tunnels and stuff. It's like what you did as a kid. And, like, there's a beach. Is it Malabar? Is it Maribor? Like, if you just keep on walking, it's a small beach. There are all these abandoned, like, buildings and stuff just filled with graffiti and stuff. But, like, you can walk through the tunnels and it's awesome. Like,
Oh, yeah, that's cool, right? And anyway, she said to me she's going to get introduce me to this guy, and I'm going to go out and do some adventuring with him because it is fascinating.
Are you doing some spelunking?
I'll spray fakeologist.com every tunnel I go through.
Yeah. Have you heard of spelunking?
No, I haven't actually. No, it sounds pretty cool.
Spelunking is cave exploration. That's a spelunker. Look it up.
And then I'll be
I'm
a spelunker.
Teach you all kinds of new things today, Rick. I didn't think I could teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, you teach one good.
Honestly, the best place to visit underground is Paris. Because under Paris, there is this big carrier that were used to get stones to build the city itself. And it's like the greatest place ever.
Isn't Ratatouille under Paris? Ratatouille?
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Yes, it is. You know, you're exactly right, man. I watched that movie and I thought that was very interesting because it was all underground in Paris.
Is that what it's about? I didn't even know that. He's the Paris. He's the mouse from Disney.
It's all about the tunnels of Paris. Garrus, the Paris is named after the Greek was he a god or a king or a
no? Paris was one of the protagonists of the Odyssey of Homer, famous story of Helen of Troy, and
he was the guy
that ravished Helen of Troy.
He ravished Helen of Troy. There you go. Yeah, because Paris is a man, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Very interesting.
Michael Jackson, Dillard is Michael Jackson's son, Paris.
Yes, the original daughter was Lutetia.
Oh, daughter, sorry.
Lutetia at the beginning, not Paris. Paris, the name came after that.
Yeah. So
I'm reading the Odyssey. Well, I've got Homer's Iliad in front of me because I'm trying to write.
Good one. That's clever. Yeah, that's a good book.
I'm just trying to cause I really like because you know there's some theories that Jesus's real birthday or whatever is on September 11, and like the things that I've read, they're using like the position of the stars and stuff like that, and they use symbols of the constellations to tell the time, and so that's why I'm reading the Iliad. I've got heaps of books, but I've thrown out heaps, but I'm glad I kept some.
You sound like you're getting some really heavy info into your brain there, madam.
I don't know if I'm a madam, because doesn't that mean isn't that lower than master? What does it mean?
I don't know. Actually, well, there you go. I don't actually, to be honest, I don't know that one, but I say madam.
I think she's a miss. She's a miss.
Miss.
Okay, no, miss. You're being a little miss. So they actually used to use that for boys or girls when they're being naughty. So you're being a miss. So it's actually derogatory.
Oh. No, well, we have words for a woman's marital status.
Madame in French.
Are you married, Ash?
I'm known by Ash.
I know. Are you married?
No.
Then you're a miss. You're a miss if you're not married. Isn't that how it goes?
I know.
No, that's just a miss.
No, I can be.
Miss is a respectful word. You're either a miss. If you're a miss, you're not married. If you're a madam, you're married.
Well, in Australia, I've been learning about maritime law and stuff, and so.
Good girl.
Yeah, and so when you actually go back to I know a bit of Latin, from anatomy and stuff, and so when you actually go back to the etymology of a word, it's changed over time, I'm just realizing that there are terms that we use, but they're actually, indicating, subservience. And I don't want to be using those words.
Yeah, name one. Words have meaning.
But miss isn't one of them. You're okay with miss. We'll call you
Ash. I don't know. Yeah, just call me Ash.
Ash.
So Ash it is.
My friends call me Tim, but you can call me John. That was a, I don't know who said that. Was that George? Ringo? That was Ringo, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, you're right. It was Ringo.
Ringo said that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of his...
Hey, Rick, did you see the viral video where they gave a 17-year-old a rotary phone and said, dial this number?
Yeah, I've seen that. I kind of believe it, but not believe it. I kind of believe it, too.
I do, too. It's. I don't know if I would know what to do with the phone.
Yeah, I could probably verify that with my children because they've never, ever had a rotary phone.
Okay, you say, should. You should verify that and video it, please, and upload it.
Okay. Control it.
Please do. You can pixelate their faces. You don't want
to. I know. One of them would be most keen to become famous, so it wouldn't face pixelated. But
Ash, do you know what a rotary phone is?
So it's the old dial ones that you're talking about?
Yes.
It rotates.
Yeah. Would you know how to use it?
Probably not.
No, there you go.
Okay, can you film yourself trying and upload it?
I don't know where I'd find one to use.
Just get the rotary phone app for your iPhone.
I can have your
iPhone. Get the app.
There's another 30-year-old verifying there's obviously a rotary phone app.
No, I've never used it.
Ash, usually at the half hour, anytime we have two fakeologists of opposite sex, we introduce them and encourage them to date. Would you like to date Bellison?
He's 30. No, he's 31. 30, I think.
Yeah.
30.
You guys are the perfect age. I don't see why not.
I'm
really.
29, there's thank you.
Oh, my God.
Okay, there's no good reason why you guys could not have a ecologist meetup.
Do you ever get the trains? Do you ever get trains?
Ash, we need Ash to respond. Ash, would you like to meet Velicet?
No, we don't mean it seriously. We mean possibly.
Yeah, Ab was counting on that awkward silence. Rating.
The rating. Tune in next show for the answer.
You guys are so funny. Well, you got to laugh, I reckon. You just got to have a sense of humor.
You do. If you haven't got a sense of humor, you're in all sorts of trouble with this.
You'll love the fart podcast, and you'll wet your pants.
You could have been on if Phyllis hadn't decided to quit. You could have come on the show. It would have been fantastic.
I've actually been to that. Like, I saw some... I'm so new to this. Like, I'm telling you, like, less than 6 months, I couldn't believe to 9/11, so I'm just still trying to find friends and find where I can, like, you know, be on a forum or talk to people about stuff like this. So I'm sorry. I haven't listened to your podcast. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. We can accept that.
Alright, I can't change it, so I just have to.
So roughly, without saying where, are you in inner city or you're in outer city of Sydney?
I'm not far from the city.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, we can meet up. Like, I started, like, on my YouTube channels. I, like, tried to...
Where's your YouTube channel? What's it called?
You won't find it. Like, you know, other people, you can't find it when you, like, type in the channel name or whatever.
Can you drop a link in the show notes? Because we'd like to check you out. Are you yourself appearing in the videos by any chance?
Yeah, but, like, you don't need to watch all of them or anything. Like, obviously not. But, like,
we do. It's part of our intensive research project. We have to see everything.
Well, I started putting some DIY on there, but, like, I do videos for my textbooks and stuff where I read out definitions and,
okay,
like, I do this.
Please drop the link. Please, can you drop the link? Because Jairus needs to play a couple of them for the show.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I'll go back to my
line. What do you DIY? What can we look forward to?
Oh, well, I made a vertical garden shelf. I used a plan from, like, Craig's.
Oh, fantastic. Like, fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I love building. Oh, and, like, there's a video last week of, like, I'm just watching trucks. Well, because, like, they were bulldozing, so it's just me commenting, like, providing commentary as, like, the truck's moving. Well, the, what are they called? Okay. It's not the bulldozer. But I'll just put a link. I'll just go back on my laptop.
Okay, put the link. Now, I want everyone to go to fakeologist.com/blog. Rick, I know you don't go to my website, and I don't think Jairus does either. I got the world's greatest supporters.
I do more and more since we started to speak more and more about it every Saturday.
Oh, good. Jairus, you are aware that I moved the daily updates to a different link. Are you aware of that?
Yes, and I do from time to time remind everyone. I think that it was Silverbeam asking the other day, so let it be clear.
Nobody can find it. I wanted proof in my own mind that nobody reads my daily updates. Most of the people that come to my blog come there by link or accident. They go to the main page and they see daily updates, so they have no idea what I'm talking about. So what I've done is anytime you go to fakeologist.com, you're going to go to either the September Clues page or you're going to go to the Videos That Change the World page, and that will give you some idea of what the blog is about. Now, if you're really interested, then you'll click on the daily updates link on the right, and almost nobody has found it. That's how I know that nobody reads for the most part. So, yeah, the daily updates are at fakeologist.com/blog, B-L-O-G. Now, there is a link on there to a failed demolition in Dallas this last week. Did anyone see that?
I saw that video the other day.
Rick, are you aware of this? Yeah, Valistad, are you aware of this?
No, I'm not aware of it. Not aware at all.
Okay. Obviously a lesser demolition company was commissioned to blow up.
Yes, yeah, no, you're right. You said we use more explosives.
Say that again?
You said you need to use more explosives or thereabouts.
Right. A lesser demolition company, and I mean lesser as in inferior to CDI, Controlled Demolition Incorporated of Phoenix, Maryland, great name, obviously was commissioned to demolish an 11-story building in Dallas. Now, they blew it up, but the core elevator column, which is usually fairly heavy duty because it has an elevator in it, remained standing. So it blew up all the area around the elevator column. That all crumbled to the ground. But the elevator shaft,
for the real part,
the elevator shaft remained standing. It actually was on a slight angle, like the Leaning Tower of Pizza in Italy.
Oh, there you go. You know, now, so I did see that, so don't think that I'm not watching you.
What does that tell you? It tells you that you can't just put explosives willy-nilly in a building and hope it falls down to the ground into its own footprint. You got to know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, and Mr. Silverstein and his business clearly knew how to blow a building, how to pull a building.
Yeah, I'm sure Silverstein knew nothing about that. I'm sure he knows nothing about explosives. But anyway, I think it's CDI is the leading. They're the ones with, I think, the most experience blowing a building, and I am convinced that unless someone has a better recommendation for a company, I'm convinced CDI was the one that destroyed the Twin Towers
and all the other buildings at the
World Trade Center.
I think you're right there. I think you're right.
Now, the thing that's interesting is now they have a problem. They have a leaning, very dangerous elevator shaft standing in Dallas. So how do you get that down without killing everyone trying to knock it down? So they brought in a crane with a very small wrecking ball, and they started banging away on it. I'm guessing they were trying to bang the top to see if the whole thing would just fall. And as of right now, there is a live YouTube channel that shows the building. I don't know if it's still standing, but it just goes to show you that a wrecking ball, which looks too small, could not even make the thing budge. Now,
and
a wrecking
why didn't
ball,
they try to fly your plane into it? It's a
that's right.
Mistake.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. So
a plane
is mostly aluminum and air and people in it. There's not a lot to a plane because if it's too heavy, of course, it wouldn't fly. And there's lots of fuel in it, too. So a plane, if it even hit the elevator shaft, would probably shred into pieces, and the elevator shaft and the accompanying structure would probably not fall down. It almost certainly would never fall down. So this video is another great illustration of the absurdity of the 9/11 story. And it shows you, even with explosives, you got to really wire it very carefully to make it fall into its own footprint. That was the purpose of that post on my blog.
Yeah, I've read about that today, or I just can't remember who I was listening to where they go through that as well. But yeah, I'll go check out your blog post about it.
Thank you.
And then what was I going to say? I don't know if it was Enchanted Life Path or I can't remember now.
Can anyone go to the Dallas? I have a link at fakeologist.com/blog. I have a YouTube link of the live shot of the tower. Can anyone see if the elevator shaft is still standing? Because they had to bring in a bigger wrecking ball, and that bigger wrecking ball is doing more damage. It is getting more of it down. But I guess the problem with a wrecking ball is that if it's too big, then you're going to need a bigger crane by the laws of physics, because if the wrecking ball is too heavy, it'll knock the crane over. So you would need a really big crane with huge support on the ground to swing a big wrecking ball.
Yeah, you're right.
It's day 5, live look at the Leaning Tower of Dallas. 69 watching now.
Is it still standing?
I can't see anything. It's dark.
You've got a funny laugh, Ash. It's funny.
Oh my God! Like I sound like a dying animal.
You're on the right site for. We don't laugh at anyone laughing, but that is really funny. That's the fact that that didn't fall over. And they're trying to whack it down with, it's just, it just shows how pathetic the story is.
Rick, doesn't that prove the point that we build buildings very tough and a plane can never knock them over?
Of course it does. Of course it does. It's just, I've had more laughs off the 9-1-1 story than any other story ever. The greatest laugh of the lot, though, would have to be the 911.
Ash, is somebody tickling you?
No, I'm just like scrolling through like the live chat, and I'm like waiting to see someone say prayers and thoughts for the victims.
Present thoughts. Present thoughts, please. Present thoughts.
Because, I don't know if you watch Sid on YouTube. Oh, I fucking love him. But there was this disaster in Australia where, 4 kids died. And I had my high school formal at Oakland's house and stuff. So I know the area a bit. But
now, this is in Queensland. The one in Queensland with the rugby player. A football player that tortured the kids to death, or which one?
No. So the one in Oakland recently,
the drunk driver.
And guess what, Mr. Psychologist? Guess what was suggested 4 days after that one? That we need to take cars
what's
off
that?
The road without. But any car without ABS needs to be taken off the road.
That car didn't have ABS? What car doesn't have ABS today?
Don't know, but they said any car that's 10 years old needs to be removed off the road because it doesn't have the particular braking system.
The latest safety features. ABS has been in cars for 20
sorry,
years.
ABS is old. I'm not a tech.
Isn't that like automatic?
There are still some cars that are manufactured probably in India and I think in Brazil that doesn't have ABS.
They may have changed the word. ABS used to mean anti-lock braking system, but I think now we have automatic braking systems.
It would be like a new computer, cars go on chips or whatever, so it would have to be like a new feature. So then they have another way to gratify the amount of people with cars, I reckon.
And they said that if any car doesn't have that particular system, it should be taken off the road, meaning any car over 5 years old, basically.
Yeah, PK sends it, like, he goes through, like, how, and it, like, thinks
oh,
through,
okay.
like...
So, you, so, so, PK, so, you've, so, so this, you, you've been listening to some wild, proper psychologists here.
I like PK.
Yeah, I think he's pretty cool. I like his voice.
Reducing the alcohol like limit as well, just getting to zero. But none of the story makes sense. Yeah. So, like, that's what you see in mainstream media, and that's what the parents are saying as well. You know, and you had, you know, bloody bladders going to the funeral. Ash, do you understand
now what we're on about? The whole thing is a giant fucking scam to control.
Yeah, exactly. It makes sense. Like, you know, and that's why they want us fearful because that's when we are stressed and our body system.
So you're waking up, Ash. We call that
a noble lie. Do you know what a noble lie is?
I'm assuming like it means something that. You know, some where people like have genuine emotional sympathy or whatever, but it's actually like
a noble lie is when somebody lies for
got to do with nobility, and I'd appreciate you stop putting us all in that low position and putting yourself above us. I don't appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. Rimshot. No, a noble lie is...
Now, if we were on the podcast, we would have had all of those special effects.
Yeah, we had rim shots and farts and
Here's
all
a good one for you. I've just had the Mardi Gras on in the background. I find this ironic. They've got a fucking lesbian shuttlecock club. Get a load of that.
No!
A what?
A lesbian shuttlecock.
Can someone do a timestamp? I want to catch Ash's laugh there. That was great. It almost sounds like a call, a hunter's call, and they're trying to catch a bird or something. It was funny. Very good, Ash. There it is.
I thought you said you were Asian Indian, not the other one.
No, she's of exotic blood. That's all you need to remember. Exotic blood.
No, I'm Australian.
Australian, yeah.
Oh, I'm everything. I'm everything, aren't we? I think we're everything. We're all one.
We're all one, apparently so. Mm-hmm. You're right.
I'm from the country New World Order, NWO.
We all are. It's all been pre-planned.
Anyway, let me get back to it. A noble lie is a lie that is made for a good cause. So if they want to stop drunk driving, or if they want to influence the laws around drunk driving, then they stage events using actors.
Yep.
And the reason why they use actors is most real people that are affected by drunk drivers, and there are lots of drunk drivers hitting people and killing people. I agree with that. That's very possible because people drink
and they drive.
We know that. Yep. So if we were to choose a family that was actually affected, they might not all be willing, I almost guarantee they would not be willing, to perform or recreate the event on camera. Because for most people, when they lose a loved one, they're in no condition to talk, let alone preach to the choir about changing laws.
And stand there and say, you can watch them, and you can see it.
You know, there's an agenda like that they're pushing towards, and it's to reduce our rights. It's to reduce our autonomy. It's to reduce our ability to judge things for ourselves. And so that's what I think whenever, you know,
you're spot on. And
the corollary to that is for the authority to establish more control. That's exactly it.
And it was basically what they said. After that particular accident, they said we need to remove those cars that don't have automatic braking in their thing.
And you know what? Listen, I drive for a living, and I'm a commercial driver. And here, where I am in Ontario, which is a province, which is like a state, our rules are: when I'm driving, at least a commercial vehicle, I can have no alcohol in my blood, zero BAC, blood alcohol content.
Yeah.
Yeah, zero. And you know what? I don't know why it's not zero for everybody, because most people have no idea what their alcohol metabolism rate is. So they don't really know, is it one drink an hour? Is it two drinks an hour? Why don't you just make it easy for people? Make it binary.
Zero.
Make it zero. Because it's easy to know zero as opposed to 0.08. Yeah. How the hell would you know 0.08? Everyone would have to have a breath meter, and they would all have to be calibrated perfectly all the time, because 0.08 is a very, very small number.
Yeah, I don't know
therefore, zero is easy. If you have had a drink within 12 hours, then you're not zero. Pretty easy. Just say, if you had any alcohol in the last 12 hours, including mouthwash, if you drink a mouthwash, don't drive. Make it easy for people. That's it.
Yeah, but that's not what they want to do. It's not about making it easy. Like, anything. When you actually look at the statistics, people getting hurt or injured from car accidents has gone down. And, like, follow the money, right? You know, insurance companies aren't going to be making a profit. You know, like, they're not idiots. And so, of course, accidents have been going down and stuff because they want to pay less claims. And so car accidents haven't been increasing. Drunk drivers haven't been increasing, in my opinion. I think that's all.
I never worry about insurance companies because it doesn't matter how many crashes there are. They're always going to make money. They have the smartest mathematical minds working for them. So if everyone is crashing into each other, then they just raise premiums. They don't lose money.
A human person, you know, if we have someone in our community and they say, look, I was in this accident, the driver was drunk, there would be outrage. There would be outrage if the insurance company from, you know, their community, they would then get their MP involved and, you know, so they do pay out those claims because otherwise that's a really emotive story if, you know, the insurance company doesn't pay it out.
Well, of course they pay it out, but the point is that it's just for more control, and it's a noble lie, and that's how they can control the situation. They can control the narrative, because if you don't have actors, then you don't know how a real person is going to react. You don't know if they will show up for every press conference regarding your event, but if it's an actor... Of course, you know, because you're paying them. But a real person is not going to agree to tour the country in support of anti-drunk driving laws because they might actually have emotions, they might have a real life, or they have a job where they have to go to.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
All right. Oh, that was a little bumper we had there. Jairus is busy. He had to jump away for a minute. Who else we have on the call today? So what's your favorite, what else do you have in Australia that you think is staged or fake there, Ash?
Sorry. I got confused. I joined on my laptop and then I was like, on my phone.
Oh, did you? Did you drop a link to your channel?
I did, yeah.
Where'd you put it?
I sent it to,
Could you put it in the live stream? Yeah, put it in the live stream show notes, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I sent a message. You sent it because I'm interested in that. Anyone that's a bit awake these days.
Well, yeah, Ash, we don't have a lot of female fakeologists, and I would like to call you a fakeologist if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank you. So it's great to have you. Female fakeologists never seem to come back too often here, so see if you can come here every week.
Yeah, well, it was really kind of Jarrus to, like, give me, like, an update. You know, it was really nice of Jarrus to, like, give me an update, like,
he's
an hour
nice
before.
Guy.
Yeah, because I'm so bad with time, and I'll just miss it. Like, I tried to, like, look up the time of 5 a.m. in Canada, and I got confused, and I thought it was yesterday. So, but it was good he's, like, been helping me get the time right. Yeah, it's there. Jarrus put it there already, my channel. It's so weird. Like, I reckon, like, I'm already getting, like, censored. It's just a new one. So, it's just a month old. Because I had a video that, so I just make, you know, videos on my phone and, or whatever. And then I had some music on there from, like, this, you know, the Samsung phone program. And it's all, like, without, you know, it's free to use. And then I was able to go onto the desktop site on my mobile, and if I went into the old version of YouTube on my phone, I could actually see a bit more, and I saw that someone had actually monetized one of my videos and put a copyright claim on the music that I used from, like, the Samsung free audio thing. So I just found that really bizarre, and I didn't get any email from YouTube or anything. And, like, that video, it tells me it's only got 10 views, and I was like, well, someone's a bit crazy to, like, put this copyright claim and then monetize it straight away. And then the publisher's name was CD Baby Pro. Am I still talking? Hello?
Yes, you are. Yes, absolutely. And that Stevie Baby Pro sounds suspicious.
Oh, it was so bizarre.
Sometimes we have to step away on the audio chat, so don't worry if nobody answers right away. You can look on the screen, and if someone's mic is muted, then that probably means they've stepped away. Or they can't talk, or it's noisy. So, yeah, the audio chat's an informal get-together where we talk usually once a week about fakeologist information.
No, it's fantastic to hear another female pop up.
Oh, yes.
We've got Rachel, and I think Rachel's still very heavily doing the...
Yes, she's doing a lot of good research on the blog. Thank you, Rachel.
Yep, very good. Very interesting. And thick-skinned, because she wouldn't be there if she wasn't.
Yeah, it's tough for women. Women are wired differently. I don't care what any of the trans promoters say. Women are very different from men. Thank goodness they're different from men.
And thank God for that.
Society wouldn't function without women. And so I'm not sure fakeology is easy for women to accept. Or maybe they're just not interested.
I think they're interested. I just think that it's the battle that you go through when you go onto the Discord.
I actually have joined before, but I left, and and I never did, like, the voice verification. It just got really
you can be accused of being a man, or you can be accused of being a trans guy.
No, like, I just found, like, there was just a bit of meanness, like, you know, on there.
Oh, sure.
I left, and this was, like, a few months ago. And even today, like, someone made this comment about, you know, propagating, you know, because I said, you know, about September 11th, and then they made this trust comment. And I was like, what the hell are you saying, like, that someone's not trustworthy for questioning?
You need to be thick-skinned, and best thing to do, what I do, is post the comment and then get out of it. Don't listen to any comments that come afterward. And get this pop on and put something interesting that you've...
Oh, but it doesn't bother me now. It doesn't, like, it's fine now, but I'm just saying, like, some people, like, I'm a pretty like resilient and thick skinned and stuff, I reckon. But before, like a few months ago, I just had to leave. I was like, whatever, I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
I can, and then I started my YouTube channel and people have been beautiful. Like one person, you know, cool. Yeah, so, but now I'm back on, I thought, you know, I'll get voice verified and stuff. And I was like, you know what, whatever. Like, you know, I just need to, you know, put my ideas out there. It's not emotion attached to it. These are just, it's information. It's not something I'm going to get
voice verified.
And people who don't know me, like, you know, they're not, they can't say anything about me or my character or whatever. Like, that's just bullshit. Like, you know, you know, people are idiots.
You sound extremely genuine.
We like you. We like you.
It's not about me, exoteric,
and Jairus like you, then that's all that matters. So we all like you. So don't listen to anyone else.
No, I don't need people to like me. I mean, that's kind. I like you guys too. But I'm just saying, like, for other people, like, they could just be a bit more sensitive and then, you know,
well,
they just don't make
no sensitivity here.
No sensitivity.
I was just trying to add comment to, you know, you saying that people come and go or they leave or there's not many women or whatever. Like, you know, I was just trying to say, like, that was me a few months ago. I was like, you know, stuff it. These people are, you know, cunts, like, being mean and all that.
I got it.
Now, because it's like, you know, I've got, like, you know, another support, you know, not support group, but another media outlet.
Ash, Rick, do you know how many times I've tried to leave this fakeologist Discord, but they won't let me because I started it? I've tried to leave so many times.
And Mr. Fakeologist, you need to do what you want to do.
You can't let anyone keep you prisoner. Like,
Mr. Fakeologist has spoken, and I've heard him on many, many, many legendary podcasts from big legends.
Thank
big
you.
Time. You've spoken to Albo. You've spoken to Chris Kendall.
John LeBond.
You've spoken to many of them. All of them. The big boys in this thing. And there you go. It's what you have to do. If you can speak to these people and be friends with them, fantastic. You just can't let the many arguments that happen on Discord, which they do happen, no doubt about it. Don't take it seriously and just be keep posting stuff and just, you know, keep following those rabbit holes in whatever direction you want to go.
Yeah, and it's not like I don't really know any of those. I don't know any of those, like, you know, big names you said, but I'm not here for the big names or whatever. Like, I'm here, like, because of the quality and, you know, the discussion.
Thank you.
That sounds fantastic. It sounds like you're on your shoulders.
Yeah. You sound like you're really with it. As I've said on a couple podcasts, now there's an infinite number of Discord channels, an infinite number of websites for the longest time. There's also an infinite number of podcasts, yet you chose Fakeologist, and for that we are thankful and grateful because you made a choice to put your energy onto our site, which is a very random thing to find us in the first place. So we're very excited and grateful because of the infinite nature of Discord and of websites and of any system. So we're glad. We're glad you made it. Glad you found
us. You've done well. Tick, 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 I say. Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you go to the right-hand side of the website for $1.19 per month, you can pay through PayPal.
You're not for anything to pay for anything. Like, I don't even, like, know any. Like, you're, like, a major server for my friends, but, like, and then I just chat with people on my YouTube and other truthers. They call them truthers or whatever. Yeah, no, I'm still learning. So, like, I look up the links and stuff, and
keep going.
Yeah, but I don't know any other forums to join or anything like that. Like, yeah, this is the only one I'm on Discord. I don't know who else to join.
No,
I don't know where to go.
Yeah, well, stay away from other people. Stay away.
No,
you'll be fine.
No,
we forbid you from going anywhere else now, or you're under our control.
you know, fuck
you off. Will obey. You will obey.
Fuck off. No. Do what I want.
But just think of the how random it is that you made it here, because again, there's an infinite number of places to go. It's so random, though, really, that you found it.
I don't think it's random.
Okay. Well, it's research, then.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
You know, I listened to an old school broadcaster on a podcast the other day, and he's probably in his 60s, and he says he can't stand the new technology where he gets an infinite choice. He's got Disney, Netflix, Hulu, all these streaming channels, sports. He said he longs for the day when he could sit in front of his TV and have only three or four channels, and he had to receive whatever they were sending him because it was so much easier. Now he spends an hour trying to figure out what to watch, and at the end of the hour, he's so tired of trying to figure out what to watch, he doesn't watch. He's exhausted with the choice. So the point is that people actually really appreciate that they're spoon-fed a meal or a program on the Telelivision. They actually go crazy with the choice. It seems like the opposite of logic, but I think there's some truth to that.
Anybody? Well, I think as well, like, if it's like muscle memory. You know, you do what you're most accustomed to doing. You know, and so yeah. If your earliest memories or whatever are just this nostalgia, and so then, you know, a few channels or whatever, so then you're always going to be pining for, you know, what you had before because it's familiar. It's like if you read, I read it years ago, but, like, I think it's David, some sort of, you know, neurologist or whatever, Thinking Fast and Slow and, you know, The Power of Habits or whatever. And so, you know, so that's what muscle memory is in the brain. So you've got your neurons, and every time, you know, you do a particular action, you're building that. It's the myelin sheath that's around, you know, the axon part of the neuron. Yeah. And so then that increases the conductivity. So then your brain, you know, with habits or things that are a pattern, you do them so much quicker because of, you know, you've built that muscle memory. So
muscle memory, yeah.
Yeah. So people do what they're familiar with, and then they pine for it. And then is that all conditioning? You know, we're just conditioned to want, you know, to want.
But what do you think?
Those things that are actually not. Well, they're conditioned to want things that are actually not, you know, conducive to us being critical thinkers, because we're just longing for, you know, say an emotion of nostalgia or whatever. We're not. Actually, we haven't built any, you know, muscle memory of being critical thinkers or having choice. And so then it's that, you know, amygdala, that, you know, emotional, you know, high that we're wanting, you know, of having no choice, because that's what we're so used to.
Well, maybe humans aren't critical thinkers to begin with. Maybe it's something they have to be trained to do. Because if they're not trained, then they are just followers, and that's what they enjoy.
Well, I think society has been so structured that it has made humans not be critical thinkers. It's made them followers. Like, you look at the school system, you know, you look at even when someone has a baby, you know, like, you know, one of my best friends is pregnant, you know, and to even question, you know, what the doctors are doing, you know, everyone looks down on you, you know, just listen to the doctors, listen to the professionals. You know, we're trained to respect authority, to listen to the round tables, to listen to the, you know, advice that comes out of, you know, every bloody forum and, you know, all the big wigs and stuff. Like, we're conditioned from a young age to just go with authority. We're conditioned to be followers.
Yes, I agree. It's a lot easier to do.
So I think naturally humans, I think, are inquisitive. Like, you know, I think, you know, that's how we are. Like, you know, humans are wonderful. Humans are kind. You know, humans are intuitive, perceptive. I think there's been mass mind control, mass manipulation from, you know, the powers that shouldn't be. And it's, you know, resulted in us not being critical thinkers. That's what I consider to be more the case.
I agree with what you said.
Yeah, she's got it totally sussed out.
And she's going to go down many rabbit holes. Many rabbit holes.
Now, Rick,
yes.
You're not going to fall in love with this new fake all like you did the last one, right?
No, I'm telling you now, I'm a confirmed bachelor.
No, it's okay. No, you know, Ash, we had another really, really smart female on here named, I believe her name is Maria Laquita. And, you know, because we're basically just a sausage party here, when we see a really, or hear a really smart female biologist, we get all excited. We never forgive our basic biology.
Yeah, no, because you want to breed with make more psychologists.
That's true.
That's true. That's basic biology. Well, why wouldn't you?
That's true.
But, no, it's just good to hear your brain is sitting right where it should be, madam.
Very smart.
It's fantastic. Just keep, but it's
so hard. Rolo would love to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I'll tell him that there's a female from Sydney that he can talk to, and he'll be back with a shot. Back like a shot.
I wonder if John the Bond will come coach her this evening.
He would be. I should actually try and contact him.
Is his laugh here?
No. Are you? No, he hasn't got a soundboard in the saddle. But yeah, fantastic to hear someone else that's got a brain that's interested in learning and.
Australian, as usual.
And Australian. But why is the Australian, not all Australians, but a lot of Australians seem to be good on focus?
You're overrepresented.
We're for sure. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I mean, look at, what's his name? He's one of the most notorious ones. He's arguing with John LeBron on one of those podcasts. He's in Queensland somewhere, and he. Oh, I think.
Who are we talking about?
It's one of the famous. I mean, is Russian Vids? Isn't Russian Vids the Aussie?
Are you having a brain fart, Rick?
Yeah, I am actually. Is Russian Vids Aussie?
No, he's from San Francisco.
All right. It's someone that talks to Russian Vids. Anyway,
PK,
fantastic. He seems to be resurfacing every now and then. I just look up my God.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener. And for $9.11 a month, a benefactor who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Fantastic.
And thank you to all the donors. We have a couple regulars on PayPal, and I don't think we have any on Patreon, which is fine because Patreon takes way too much for nothing. But we have quite a few PayPal subscribers. That's the preferred method. Even though they take a big cut now, too. Everyone just takes a cut for nothing.
That's just disgusting. How dare they?
They take such a good... Yeah, well, it's a convenience factor. I guess you don't have to... Does anyone under 30 know what an envelope is and a stamp and a mailbox?
Possibly not.
Because...
Possibly not.
I know.
I mailed...
Envelope's that little symbol on your email application, isn't it?
Apparently so.
I know. I almost never mail stuff. It's crazy. I had to find a stamp because I mailed a check to the No Agenda Show because I want that way the PayPal wouldn't get a chunk. And it's
$200.
I know. Well, but
my next door neighbor is the post office, and I go there very rarely. And they're flat out because they've got everyone's doing online ordering now, and they're really, you know, but. And I actually mail my tax to them. And I'll be one of the, I would say, actually buy a stamp, stick it on their envelope. And I'm going to keep doing it. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you're there. Thank God for that. Mr. Fakel has disappeared. So anyway, fantastic. Yeah, a brain. it's active. Got an active brain, which is fantastic. So keep it up. Keep it up.
Yeah, thank you. We all do. I think we've all got really great brains.
Oh, no. We do here on thefakeoldest.com. But the majority don't. I'm sad. So your relatives, your best friend, your closest friend think you're mad if you actually talk like you want to talk. Except for the really close think, you know, they'll accept whatever you say. But unfortunately, I just found this over the majority of people will just close off when you bring up any subject that they don't feel comfortable. So it is. Way it is.
Yeah, and it took me like a long time, like, you know, to question. It didn't even cross my mind to question, actually. So I guess we never know when people come around, but it's encouraging to be able to find like forums like this. Like, it's ever since like my YouTube channel and then like, you know, chatting on here, like, it really helps someone's like, you know, I guess mental health as well, and gives them a sense of community and just
that's the whole thing. Okay. So you don't feel it. Your community is the word that you just used before, is the secret. It's to have somewhere where you've got someone to speak, someone to talk to. You don't feel like you're going to... Unfortunately, though, I just find Discord to be... You'll suddenly have something interesting to say, and you'll find someone arguing with you on Discord about, you know...
I think it's fine to argue. Yeah, no, I think it's good. Like, I've always been pretty, not always critical, but like, there's never been anything wrong with asking questions, like, to my friends or family.
No.
So I think, yeah, that should be, like, the norm, you know? I have, like, you know, friends, and we can have very different views, but we'll hear each other out, and it's not heated, and...
Yeah, that's true. Your close always be there. But I have found that if you have a objection to the climate change, that will definitely cause massive friction.
Eco worship.
With even your
Definitely, and I think, you know, like, it's good to see that division, and, you know, it's good to then be able to say, okay, well, you know, I'm not on the same, you know, like, consciousness or, you know, level of thought of, you know, these people, and it's good to have that, you know, realization, because then you need to then, well, I find, like, it's been really good for me to have that separation process and just realizing it, because then it makes me seek out people who are questioning the things or thinking about the things that
happen. Well, I've always gone with the... I'll never go with the consensus flow. I love to be the someone different. And
the contrarian.
I'm definitely the contrarian. And I love to be... To give the ultimate view... Just to be that, but I'm definitely convinced that I'm right, and they are wrong for this one, particularly the climate change. It's just a complete wrong, and it's a complete lie. And knowing I'm unwell, as soon as I saw that, as soon as I watched that thing happening, who's doing dishes?
Oh, I actually forgot to eat dinner. I didn't realise the time, so I'm just washing some vegetables.
Oh, cool. All right. You're not a vegetarian. You're not a vegetarian, eh? Please.
Hmm?
Are you a vegetarian? Sorry? Are you a vegetarian?
Do you eat meat?
What would annoy you
it's
more?
It's not required to be here.
Nice to be honest.
It's not required.
Yeah. Oh. Anything what annoying,
that,
really.
What would I face more opposition
for? If you like
a good steak.
Yeah.
I've only eaten one steak in my life, but that's because the household I grew up in was Hindu.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't
eat steak. You guys don't eat beef. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You don't eat mama.
The moo?
The moo.
What's
cow.
Mama?
Well, I just had a steak, and it was the best steak ever.
Well, good for you. Did it make you happy?
Yes, it really did. Because
a lot of Hindus are vegetarian. Are a lot of Hindus vegetarian, Ash?
Yeah, like that's what like the religion like promotes. Like, I don't know. Like, I've never been Hindu. It was just the household I was in.
Hey, if you've got,
you're not
if you've
Hindu.
Got, if you, I've got O negative blood, right? And you are not allowed to be vegetarian. You can't survive. You go, you get sick if you don't.
Nobody told me that. I'm O negative.
Are you kidding? So there you go. So me and you are 6% of the planet.
I think we're the rarest blood type.
We are 6% of the planet.
And we're also we're also the universal donor.
We are, actually. And if I get blood, I get harassed.
Hey, Rick, speak up a bit. I can't hear you.
If I went down and gave blood, I get a phone call the next day every time because I've got O negative blood. It's universal.
Yeah.
They will seek you out and harass you to come down again and again and again. And I ended up fainting one day because I gave blood 2 days ago.
And you're only allowed to give blood once every 2 months here.
Not here. Well, certainly not New Zealand.
You could give blood every day? Do they buy it?
Well, if you've got O negative, they would take you down.
No, do they pay for it?
No.
Hey, Rick, speak up a bit. I can't hear you.
No. There was no pay for it because I had goodness of my heart. But I'll never do it again. Fainted. Stood up and fell over.
I hear you? Oh. You're very faint. I got Ash really loud.
Is that better?
A little bit.
Yeah
that's better. Speak right into the mic.
Yeah. O negative is, as you said, the universal blood, which goes into everybody. But did you know that it's the same blood group as the royal family?
I feel royalty every day.
English royal family are all O negative.
I don't know about that. I mean, like, they're hermaphrodite.
I don't think Harry is.
Harry's not royal. Is not royal.
He's wild.
His father was someone else. But I'm definitely O negative, and it's either 6% or 4%. It's very rare, and it's universal. But if you go and give blood,
and we can only receive O negative blood.
That's right, exactly. So if you get sick, you've got to hope you know an O negative person that can give blood to you. But I do believe have you listened to the stories about O negatives that they don't get cancer? Can't get cancer.
No, I don't believe any stories that I can get sick. I won't read them.
No, you can't get cancer. You don't. O negatives do not get cancer. It's because
That's a relief.
Yeah. We have the highest.
What about heart attacks?
Possibly. I'm not sure about that, but you can't get cancer because
against
heart transplants. Well, if you know negative, you don't get cancer because you've got a very high level of alkaline in your blood. So O negatives are
all right.
Yeah. So don't ever worry about cancer.
I drink alkaline every day.
You don't need to. But you don't need to because O negatives naturally produce it. Yeah. It's the whole blood group thing is a very interesting subject. Very interesting subject, actually. And I do feel like I should be part of the royal family and own large estates and have to go to work. Sadly, I do go to work, but anyway.
But you're not working now. You're on the call. On the chat. Who do we got here?
Call.
We've got Ash. We've got and we should always reintroduce people because anyone that drops in might not hear. We've got Ashalu. That's her username. Lots
Ashalu.
Of uppercase and lowercase spelling.
Ashalu.
I think that's a millennial thing.
It is.
We got Exoterra Rick. We've got Mythicologist. We got Silverbeam listening in. we've got StreamerBot broadcasting, and of course we have Velaset, our wonderful producer who's not producing at all.
He's listening, man. He's listening. It's not.
He's enjoying his relaxed day where he doesn't have to.
No, I'd say he's working and listening, I would say.
Oh, he's on break. Okay.
I wouldn't say he's on break. I'd say he's definitely at work. He'd probably getting triple time as we speak.
Yeah, probably. Public sector workers are overpaid.
Oh, yeah. They are in Sydney. Oh, yeah. But
they got good pensions, too.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Anyway, I'm the go, guys. I need to...
What?
I'm getting it.
Where's the skid mark? I needed my my daily dose of Jewish news.
I don't know if. But no, we'll organise it for next week, and we'll get the three of us the podcast. The producer can listen, but he won't be able to do anything. But we'll organise.
Are you
going to
do a fart podcast next week? Mini fart.
We'll have. Rollo and Golden Skidmark will be
Skiddy.
Yep, he'll be back. He'll be there.
Where are you doing it? Because you can't do it on the fart podcast.
No, it's gone. I'll say we'll come on the psychologist.com next
Saturday. You're welcome here.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, thanks for joining.
No worries, man. And if I have to go and drag Rollo kicking and screaming,
That's all right. If he doesn't
want to
come by, that's okay, too.
No, he does. He is just... Because he hasn't got a producer anymore of the quality that Villa said. That's his problem. So I understand, but I'm not going to stop talking. I'm not going to stop talking.
Yeah.
And certainly Golden Skidmark won't be stopped. He won't be stopping talking either. So anyway, and Ash, lovely talking to you. And Mr. Psychologist and Velaset and whoever's listening, good night from...
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
We'll chat again.
See you next week. Same bad time, same bad place.
Yeah, it'll be next Saturday about 8 o'clock. We'll all be here. I guarantee you.
8 o'clock. What time is that here?
Oh, your time. Whatever time we started tonight. I'll make sure. But,
what time is it now?
For me, it's 11:27. As usual.
11:27? I got 11:37 here. I got 37 after the
hour. Oh, you're right. Actually, you might be right. I can't see. I've got no little
dark glasses. And put on your glasses.
I haven't got glasses. I need to get some.
Yeah. It's the year 2022, but not his vision.
Yeah.
So, hey, Velaset, speak next week.
I got to wear the goggles all the time now. I can't be bothered looking for reading glasses.
Yeah, no, it's gonna happen. I'm clinging.
My eye doctor says I got cataracts. Once you hit 50, everyone starts getting cataracts.
Yeah, they do. That's true. All right, man.
You know what she blamed it on? She said it's UV rays from the sun from the smartphone.
Yes. Get this one. I've got a thing called... But it's a growth on the eyeball, and it's from the sun that causes it. And it's like a cataract, but it's very small. A tritium. It's called a tritium, T-R-I-T.
Yeah, but you know what, Rick? At least you don't have ED.
What's that? CD, I can't remember that one.
You don't have ED commercials on your telelight?
No.
ED?
No.
You know, men over a certain age get ED?
No, well,
not
I've got
BD,
tritium.
ED.
ED, okay, cool.
ED.
I haven't got ED.
Are you...
You know that little blue pill that men take?
Erectile dysfunction. Yeah, no. Well, there's many herbal things.
You don't have that.
Not really. No, I don't think so. But they come in handy. They come in handy. Let me tell you. All right, brothers.
Velaset couldn't take the talk. He just left.
All right, guys, I'm off.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Exoteric Rick. He used to be Exoteric 64. Now he's just Exoteric Rick. And now we've just got myself and Ash. Ash, how you doing?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I realized I didn't cook dinner yet, so I just got to cook dinner. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you want, go cook your dinner. You obviously eat really late. That's fine.
Yeah.
So we got a bumper from you. We got a great introduction from you. You sound like a really smart woman who is a fakeologist. We are very excited to have you here. And we convene usually at, I'm going to say 9 o'clock your time. 9 o'clock your time, but you can do an audio chat anytime you want. And
oh, all right, cool. Yeah, no, it's great. It's been a lovely time chatting.
Yeah.
Sorry.
When you come into the audio chat channel, just so you know, if the streamer bot is in the channel, then you will be broadcast on a live stream around the world, as well as being recorded. So keep that in mind, that you are going out live, and people do listen live on fakeologist.com, I believe, /radio2.
That's really great.
All the radio. Yeah.
It's a good community. Well done. And, you know, thank you for, you know, this platform. It's
really
cool.
Yeah, thank you. It's been here a long time, and we love talking about the fake events, including any of the local things that are going on in your community, like Noble Lies regarding drunk driving. That's all interesting stuff. So we don't mind talking about even the small ones like that. So we're very glad to have you here, and thanks so much. And I'll check out your channel. It's linked in the live stream show notes, and I'll take a look at that. What is it about again?
I just put different videos on there. I do some, like, looking up definitions of corona, and then, you know, while I go through, like, our immune system, like, quickly, and, it's just all different things. But it's a really small channel, and the videos are all really short and stuff. I just put ideas out there.
What's your idea about corona or COVID-19?
Like you'll see in one of the videos, you've got your big coronary ligament that sits under the diaphragm. And so I then go look at Gray's Anatomy, which, you know, equals 33 in gematria. And then they say that the diaphragm is called into action for all expulsion acts. And so, like, the word corona, virus has always been known as the flu. And so, when I look through the definitions as well of corona through my, like, science dictionary, like, it's a word that's always, like, it's been around for ages. But I don't
believe... Well, it's a Latin word. Latin for halo, yeah. Right?
Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's about generating fear. So anything that's, like, mass hysteria or fear, you know, I think, I'm not scared by it. I don't think it's real. I think 5G... because Wuhan was the first place to have 5G, might have something more to do with it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so. Because every G that they've ever come up with for the phone has always been here to kill us. And I think I'm on 4G plus, and I'm still here. But I do worry about one thing, and electromagnetic waves propagate all around us, including the radio and television. I'm wondering, is there any effect on our electrical signal that makes our heart tick? That's one thing I think is a real possibility.
Yeah, and so what I've learned about, I've still got to, like, do the calculations myself and stuff. But the thing that's different about 5G is that the wavelength actually, it does something to the oxygen in the air. So it actually... you know, makes less of it available, or, like, I'll do the calculations myself and do a video, because I don't need to get my own scientific proof, and you can do calculations, and I've got, you know, some experience in that. But so that's why I think there is a connection between 5G and weakened immunity. And it's because of the, yeah, the less oxygen available in the air, and then that's what causes, you know, people to have to breathe more, or and oxygen is like, we need it. You know, so that, I don't know. Like, I need to, like, you know, develop that thesis a bit more before I post any videos. But yeah, and so one of my videos, I talk about, like, this theory, you know, that I heard, like, on this website. I think it's Mind Unveiled, and, like, you know, is there, like, a connection between, like, these, like, redhead giants who became cannibals? And, you know, was it that, like, the EMF technology that, you know, I think when you look at old buildings and stuff, like, they look like they're just so advanced. And, you know, I definitely think that they were using technology and EMF waves in a way that, you know, it is not known mainstream and stuff. So, okay. Yeah, so, like, there's a video of that that I put up there.
So you're worried about 5G because you think, sorry, I had to get out, but so you think the wavelengths are maybe more, well, I can't, are they shorter or longer? I think they're really super
they're
short
shorter.
Wavelengths and higher
yeah,
frequencies.
Yeah, they're super short. Yeah, I mean, so what I need to do,
yeah,
I need to, like, do, you know, the calculations or whatever of, you know, with oxygen and stuff and all the other elements in the air, and then, yeah, because, like, I heard, I don't know, I think it was the Fullerton Informer, and I think he's got his, like, he's got a ton of websites. I haven't actually checked them all out. But that's what I think it is. I think they're reducing the air quality, and then that's what's giving people.
The only thing I can think about, really, is certain frequencies, when they are released or mm-hmm. when they are pulsing. I guess pulsing is a good word for frequencies. Then mm-hmm. if there's something that vibrates in sympathy to those pulses, it could destroy it. So if the frequency is right in tune with our heart signal, then that could be a problem. That's the main thing that I worry about, is just all the pulses interfering with our own electric body, because we know that the heart is electrically controlled.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any argument about that.
No, it is. Like, you've got your sinus atrial node. It's all, like, you know, and
right.
you know, new fibers and all that. But so if you look at, you know, where 5G has rolled out, and, you know, Wuhan was the first place in China, they aren't saying people have got heart palpitations or heart issues. So that's why I think it's more an immunity a lung issue.
I really think COVID-19 is the phony virus, because I don't believe viruses exist, number one. And number two, they want to institute a global health security system where they can enact more control over people, their movements, and all the things that they like to control. And they're using this health issue. They're using this so-called virus, which is invisible, which suddenly, you know, it's amazing. They suddenly have a test for this virus that never existed or they didn't know about before. They don't ever talk about what the test is or who invented it, which to me just proves there is no test because there's no virus. So it's just a complete ongoing narrative being rolled around the world to institute more health security control, including control of information on people that are questioning whether the virus even exists. See, they don't need to worry about what questions, what answers are coming up in the media if everyone is asking the wrong question. And the wrong question, the right question is, do viruses exist at all? Answer, I don't think they do. And therefore, is this a real threat? Is this a real health concern if viruses don't exist? And the answer is no, they don't. And the language they use around reporting of this fake event, fake virus, is amazingly wishy-washy. For instance, they've used the word presumptive.
Have you ever heard of the word presumptive?
Yeah.
They're using that in every single media report, saying a presumptive case has now been discovered in so-and-so place. Who has ever used the word presumptive? Should we look up the word presumptive to see what it means?
So what I consider, and where, like, I think that the coronavirus is a red herring. I think they want us to think that it's a virus, it's a health thing that's making people sick, when it's not. I think it's EMF. I think it's something more. So I think the whole virus thing is a red herring.
What if it's nothing?
It could be, but so hear me out. So Bill Gates, you know, I think there's a Netflix series and then there's an interview. So, you know, he's said a few times that he thinks that a virus is going to, come out in China in a food market. And I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure, like, the initial cases were confirmed to not have been from Wuhan anyway. And so patients already exist for this corona. And so I think, and a lot of truthers or whatever are focusing on the fact, oh, there's this, you know, vaccine already. There's already been patents on the vaccine, you know, years before this happened. I think that's all a red herring, because I think what they're really trying to do is make food markets the enemy, because Bill Gates, so I think Monsanto's been bought out by a pharmaceutical or whatever, because they had to, you know, rebrand because of all the, damage to the reputation. But he's got a lot of shares in Monsanto. And so you follow the money. And so what they're going to introduce now is they're going to be able to, you know, introduce an argument where they demonize, like, you know, growers' markets and, you know, people, you know, growing their own food and all of that. And so then everyone will have to use, seeds that are, you know, government, you know, okayed and all that. And then I believe, like, this is possibly, like, I think this way because then that then ties into their whole smart city thing, you know. And then when you watch videos about, like, from the World Economic Forum and, you know, they're envisioning for smart cities and how we're going to live, and, like, it all ties into that, you know, where we'll get seeds and we'll grow our own, you know, we'll be in these sanctioned communities or whatever. So that's what I consider to be the real issue here, is them finding a way to control our food supply. Because our enteric nervous system, so that's all the nerves and stuff that, you know, for our stomach and gastrointestinal region, like, that's considered the second brain. And so, like, I consider, like, you know, you control people's food supply, like, you control, like, their body and the potential of their body as well, and what they can, their health levels and stuff like that. So that's what I'm thinking at the moment.
Oh, yeah. You control food, you control people, no doubt. You can remove food and remove people. You can make them move. You can do all kinds of things with food. Food is very important. I agree. And the industrialization of food, I think, is a greater threat. In other words,
that's what I think the whole coronavirus is about. I think that's...
I think it's mainly... Have you heard of the global security drill they did last year called...
they did it, and it was 2 or 8 or whatever, and it's like when you do the gematria of, like, Dean Kutz's... Because he put, you know, he wrote, you know, in a 1981 book about coronavirus in China.
There's been lots of books on epidemics, by the way. It's not a real virus.
But I think these
authors write the scripts for the reality. So they take an author's science fiction or fiction and they use it as real, just like all the other things about space. Space is science fiction, and then they turn it into science fact.
So it's all just like preconditioning us to the idea that this is going to happen. But, like, they tell each other what's going to happen. And anyway, so the whole thing is, like, the virus isn't a threat, you know. And that's just a red herring.
Do you believe in viruses? Do you believe in viruses?
No, I've actually been looking into it, and so I'll do, like, a video on Like, I'm just seeing all my textbooks so differently, and when I actually go through the definitions, they're man-made viruses, because you'll see I did like a 3.5-minute video on our innate immune system where I talk about PAMPs, which, you know, are part of our innate immune system, and they're like pattern recognition, and it's like we're just, our immunity is miraculous. It's able to recognize like the presentation of known pathogens virtually in the whole environment. And so it's made, so now when I look at the definitions and stuff, I realize that, you know, those things that do harm us, like they are man-made, these viruses or whatever. And we've got people, you know, from these pharmaceuticals or whatever.
Wait,
like,
so you think viruses exist then?
They're man-made.
So you think a virus exists. But you think, well, it exists. So it's an actual thing you can, an actual, what is it? Is it a cell? Does it have the cellular features? Or is it a, does it,
it's a manipulated,
it to,
yeah, like I'll go through the science of it, but pretty much like, so, but like when people get like a vaccine, you know, and they're given like the live virus of it or whatever, like people do get sick. And,
no, they're given, the story is they're given the denatured or dead virus. They're
no, not all the
live anything.
No, the measles, mumps, and rubella, I'm pretty sure, is a live vaccine.
No, nothing. No, I don't think any of the so called pathogens introduced are live. They're all denatured, and you're just getting the dead version, and then your body doesn't know that it's dead, so it still reacts to it and builds antibodies against it. That's the official story as far as I know.
Yeah, well, look, I'll start doing more videos, because I'll actually break, I'll go through the definitions in these textbooks, and it's just, so that immunity video is good. And then, because it's our body already in our innate immune, so there's a difference. So that's why language is so important, because we're told that the vaccines have antigens, but when you actually workshop all the definitions, go through it logically, it's antigens are man-made. It's the immunoglobulins. It's the immunogens. So I'll just have to make a video of it, because it's, you know, with the definition.
Don't believe in viruses. No one's seen them. I think they are fabricated ideas. I think humans get sick because certain bacteria gets in our system and we cannot defend against it, especially if we are already immune compromised by being young or being old or being poisoned by toxins. Yeah,
but that's what my immune, like my, I use my pharmacology textbook. That's why the immunity, like, it's only 3.5 minutes long, but I'm trying to demonstrate to people that our innate immune system is phenomenal, and it can recognize almost every single pathogen. And so if we're getting sick, it's because these are not naturally occurring pathogens. They're scientifically engineered.
You think there's a great force out there trying to kill us all by engineering pathogens? See, I don't agree with that.
No, I don't know. Look, I don't know. But I'm saying when I go through the definition of viruses, it's not what's the mainstream.
Them?
Well, I don't know. Do I need to know that? I can, you know, find.
No, I know. I know you don't need to know. I'm just wondering if you had a theory. No, I think it's the same
people who make us fearful, because fear reduces our immunity.
I agree with that.
The same people who are making us fearful, because, like, I got shingles in my 20s, which is, you know, like, unheard of or whatever. It's like only old people get it. But still, I don't know whether any of that's real or whatever. But it's like, how did I suddenly become so immunocompromised? Was it from all the stress, you know? Because stress makes
you under stress in your 20s?
It was a very stressful time. I didn't even know, you know, what. But I had jingles.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something was actually strange.
That's right, John Travolta. I think that's John Travolta. Sound like John Travolta.
Well, I think Event 201 was the drill that they were going to use as the model for this Corona event that they portray as real. It's just another hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real. And it's a slow-moving event that they're using to build up the global health security network around the world. It's just another money-making event to, like you said, scare the hell out of people. That's what it is. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But I don't think viruses exist. I think sanitation, bacteria in the wrong places, for instance, people living too close with their animals. Don't you find it unhealthy that people let animals, including dogs and cats, lick their faces, which is a gateway into your human bloodstream, which is not a natural way?
I love it. Why do I let dogs lick my face? And I don't.
You do not?
No, I do. Like, you know.
Well, do you not see the problem there? That there's certain bacteria that are not.
No. So, yeah, this is why my immunity video is, like, really.
Do you know what else a dog licks? Of course you do.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, we are so phenomenal with our own immune strength already. We've got B and T cells and all the things are part of our immunity. We have what's called toll cells. These are pattern recognition cells for virtually every pathogen that exists. So I don't need to be scared.
Certain bacteria are not toxic to dogs. But that's why a dog can consume his own waste and not die. I don't think we would survive if we consumed our own waste or other animals' waste, because the bacteria does not belong in certain areas of our body, especially if it's introduced through our eyes or our nose, gets past our nose, and then our bodies cannot deal with it. And I think that's why when you live with animals in close quarters, without sanitation, that's when people and humans can really get ill, especially if they're immunocompromised. Do you agree with that at all? I would never let a dog lick my face.
Yeah, I let dogs lick my face.
All right.
Well, yeah, and I think I've got strong immunity. I'm pretty healthy. And I think the key is immunity. Like, we're so strong already. So we don't, like, I'm not going to get, scared by bacteria on dogs or in my environment. Like, no way. Like, our ancestors have lived in this environment, have lived with these animals for, I don't know how many hundreds of years, but we have so much knowledge in our cells. And even the pharmacology textbook says that, even these medical textbooks say that. And so I guess that's why I see things a bit differently, but not like, it's good to hear, like, different perspectives and things like that. I'll have to, like, look into this whole idea about dogs eating the excrement. I've never heard that. Oh, shit, is the stove on? Oh, far out. God. Damn it. Oh, good. Oh, okay. Hey, I gotta go because I'm cooking dinner. Oh, God, I just got distracted and came to my laptop. We'll wait for you guys, just for you to come back on. Oh, good Lord. Oh, gosh. Is everyone still on here? All right. So, yeah, I've got to go. Because it's still, I haven't finished cooking. Got a bit distracted.
Well, it's really great talking to you, psychologist. I don't know how long you're going to be away, or has this podcast finished? Is this what this is? All right, I've got to go. Okay, I'll come say hi next week as well. Thank you. All right, bye, guys.
That's all, folks.